Good evening, friends. A welcome to anyone who might be visiting us this evening. We're glad you're here. So yes, Candlemas, a day to each, happy Candlemas day to each and all, commemorating the day as we read that Joseph and Mary presented the Christ child to a people lost in darkness. Of course, yes, candles have a significant place in the church as they signify for us spiritual light and clearly are a staple of the liturgical setting. I would say a mass without candles would be our congregation without children. So yes, the blessings of the candles also a very rich tradition of Candlemas. Speaking of tradition, we know also it's somewhat of a national holiday tomorrow too, with Super Sunday. So thinking about the halftime show, Hide the Children and Pets, right? Also observance of Groundhog Day. Did you know that there's actually somewhat of a connection between Groundhog Day and the tradition of Candlemas? An old English poem I found says, "If Candlemas be fair and bright, come winter, have another flight. If Candlemas bring clouds and rain, go winter and come not again." There you have it. Yeah, well, shadow or not, Punxsutawney Phil's forecast is about as trustworthy as a CNN presidential poll, right? But either way, rather than the unreliable and the untrue, let's turn to that which is eternally reliable and always true, the Word of God. So two things I invite us to perhaps glean from today's rich text. One, to refresh our fundamental understanding of just how it is that Jesus delivered us from darkness. As Isaiah proclaimed to a people who walked in darkness, who have seen a great light. Second, to remember the blessings born out of faithful, trusting prayer. So first, the fundamental theology of Jesus' saving act to deliver us from darkness. Just like a diamond, this single act with multifaceted dimensions that reflect the light and true depth of Christ's love for us. Remember, Peter, he counsels us. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. I would suggest that to explain our Christian faith to an inquiring non-Christian by simply saying, "because he died for our sins," would be about as inspiring as handing them a 1,000-piece puzzle already together. Yes, clearly, the church sees it appropriate on this Sunday to reflect on the means of our salvation through Christ, as Paul does exactly that in the second reading. Sure, we all know the who of the child Jesus. As from our first reading, Malachi had prophesied the scene that we just read in the gospel. "There will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek." But Paul, he lays out the how of Malachi's messenger of the covenant, how he can purify us, the how of why Christ alone could, as Paul said, expiate the sins of the people. He explains it first as Jesus' very makeup, that he who became, he says. In other words, he always was and always will be the Son of God, but now he also shares in our same blood and flesh, as Paul says. Then Paul explains it's by what Jesus did, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he's able to help those who are being tested. St. Philogenius tells us, listen, he alone is priest, sacrifice, and temple because he is all these things as God in the form of a servant. Yeah, absolutely. All prior priests and sacrifice lacked what was mandatory and necessary. Jesus' divine and perfect nature grafted onto imperfect human nature of deadly original sin. Then, what? Submitting to a guilty plea, even in his innocence, baptized into death, yet resurrected to eternal life that we might follow. Yeah, friends, the faith we have in the Christ we profess is more than we can humanly fathom. But with Peter, we confidently say, don't we? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Okay, so also then a word about blessings born out of faithful prayer and trusting prayer. So Luke tells, right, how Mary and Joseph, they take the child and happily consecrate him. In other words, give him to God, give him back, consecrate him to the Lord. Now, the Holy Family also encounters Simeon and Anna. Pope Francis, he cleverly calls the scene an encounter between young people full of joy as they observe the law of the Lord and elderly people full of joy by the action of the Holy Spirit. Well said. Can't we just sense the joy in Simeon's grateful awareness? My eyes have seen your salvation. So the blessings that come to Simeon and Anna because of their trust, their persistence in prayer. We know that their faith had inspired them to trust in God's promise heard through the prophets. And now, yes, this firsthand encounter with the promise, with Christ. They're even gifted with the insight of the Holy Spirit. They even prophesy. So friends, it may not be our desire to prophesy, but it has to be our deepest desire and hope to encounter Jesus this way, to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. It just has to be. St. Augustine, he models this kind of desire that we might aspire to. And I invite you to hear his words, his prayer to God, without being inspired, without being moved. Kind of like the wonderful responsorial psalm. Listen to St. Augustine. O Lord, my God, tell me what you are to me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Say it so that I can hear it. My heart is listening, Lord. Open the ears of my heart and say to my soul, I am your salvation. So brothers and sisters, don't trust my encouragement. Trust Jesus' promise. What he said. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Yes, trust the light to all nations. Eternally reliable, always true.